My beloved people, there is really, as far as announcements go, nothing in today's bulletin that needs to be emphasized that you cannot obtain by just simply reading it yourselves. I do want to make a slight reference, and then I think it is time for us to put it to bed. In today's local newspaper, we made notoriety again. And I have not seen the article, but I've heard about it. And as far as I'm concerned, it was an extraordinarily good one. And that's fine. And let's just let it die. The one thing that I do want to tell you, perhaps I should, and that is, I think, if I may speak as a fool, I know as much theology as any of those who present themselves today as theology teachers. I think I do. And I think I will tell you that regardless of what anyone else may say, when you come to this Mass, whether it's here or some other place, I'm not saying that it has to be in this particular geographical location, but when you come to this Mass, you fulfill your Sunday obligation. All other opinions to the contrary notwithstanding. And that is that. I also encourage you, do not go about telling this to others. Remember one big thing. The reason why you are here, you, I'm pointing to you, one to these back here. The reason why you are here, whoever you may be, is because, and the reason why I'm here is because God has given you and me and us the grace to believe. And had he not given us this particular grace, not a single one of us would be here this morning. And until he gives the same grace to others, they will not be here. Is that clear? Don't take it upon yourselves to persuade anybody. It is only by the grace of God that we are here. And we must be grateful for that. We must pray for others and ask God to give them the same grace. And let us leave it at that. Do not go into the lion's mouth with argument. It will only give you high blood pressure. Don't bother. Just simply pray. When you come to this church or any that are like it, you fulfill your obligation. One has asked the question, why the sudden concern about this grouping of people not fulfilling their Sunday obligation? What about the countless ones that go to Protestant churches on Sunday? Do they fulfill their obligation? Worse yet, what about those, and they are countless in number, who don't go to church at all on Sunday. Do they fulfill their obligation? You see how it works. But beloved people, you are a fishbone in the throat of the devil. And he does not like that. Our marriages, our confessions, of course they are not permitted. They're not permitted any place. But then why worry about us and the validity of our confessions? At least we go to confession. What about the ones that never go to confession? They go to communion every Sunday. What about those? What about the general absolutions that mean nothing? You see how utterly inconsistent it just boggles one's mind who has been any kind of a student. Just boggles the mind. Don't worry, my dear people. Don't talk about it. You go home and you be as happy as a lark. And be thankful that God has given you a grace. And pray that he would give this grace to others as well. That's all. Pray too, my beloved people, in a very special way. Because this is something that has been in my mind for a long time. And that's one of the purposes of this candle right here that burns constantly, among other things. Your safety. Our safety. Because, again, it seems that almost every week we have this ugliness that faces us. When this past week, you know, when people, they weren't of our belief, but they were in their church, minding their own business, saying their prayers as best they could, when somebody broke into the church and shot them down. That could happen to us. We never know when that door is going to part. And that happened. The only thing that I tell you is for you to be constantly prepared for whatever eventuality. The gospel today says, with your whole heart and with your whole mind and with your whole soul. And this is what we have to do. Put aside the argumentation. Put aside the proving. Put aside the horrendous desire to be right, to be right, to be right. Put that aside. Who are you? And who am I that I and you have to insist on being the ones that are correct? Only God determines that. And all you can hope for, and all that I can hope for, and all that I can hope to accomplish in you, and all that I hope that these men that kneel before you can hope to accomplish in you and for you, is that we, by our prayer and our example, can help you and us to save your immortal souls. If we've done that, we've done it all. There's nothing else to be done. There are certain things that, for matters of instruction, that we put into the bulletin, like today we have the thing about the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle. Don't you know that when these things are brought out to the attention of those, don't you know that this has to be a source of discomfort? Any priest who is even remotely responsible for the desecration of that object that's in the middle of that altar right now knows it. And all in the world that he's doing by acting the part of bravery, he is merely whistling in the dark. He's scared. He's very scared. And the only way that he can take care of his fright is to lash out at those who come into this church or a church like it, wherever, and can give reverence to that. If that is ever removed from this church, this church will no longer be a church. It will be an assembly hall. That is why this church has been built. Not for you. Not for us. But for that. And we have to believe that with every ounce of strength that we've got within us, with our whole heart, with our whole mind, with our whole soul. That is the center of the universe. What you see right there. And as has been said in today's bulletin, I don't want to read it for you. When the poor man by the name of Osa, when they were moving the Ark of the Covenant, and I've told you before, all that the Ark of the Covenant had were two rocks and a stick. Of course, the rocks were the tablets of the Ten Commandments, and the stick was Aaron's staff. That's what was in the Ark of the Covenant, my beloved people. And they were moving the Ark of the Covenant. And the oxen, as oxen are, can be stubborn. And when they were going across a ditch, the Ark of the Covenant looked like it was going to fall, tilt. It was on a cart. And what did Osa do? He ran and put his hands against it to keep it from falling. And he was struck dead on the spot because he had no authority to touch that object. Isn't that horrifying? And today, every Tom, Dick, and Harry can open that door and reach in there and grab at what is in there. Isn't that something? And also in the Holy of Holies, once a year, the high priest of the year had to go into the Holy of Holies to do whatever they had to do in the Holy of Holies. Had to go into the sanctuary and wherever, wherever. You know what they did? First of all, he had to prepare himself. And the problem was they were afraid that maybe sometimes there could be such a high priest that wasn't properly interiorly prepared for such an administration of his duties. And they were afraid that should he go in there, he'd be struck dead. And should that have been the case, nobody could go after him. Nobody. So the only way they could retrieve him in case such as that happened, they tied a rope around his foot. So should something happen, they could at least pull him out by the use of that rope, because nobody could go past a certain spot. Nobody. And this was an homage. Not, we know presence, we will acknowledge presence, yes. Two rocks and a stick. We know and we acknowledge this link, presence of God, yes. But that presence had absolutely no connection with the presence that is in this Holy of Holies. Until we get everything straight, our problems will continue. So my beloved people, do not be afraid. I want you to redouble your prayers. I want you to pray with all of your strength that God will give more people grace, forgiveness, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, compassion, charity, this whole business has been reduced to a matter of discipline. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Yes, we're not obeying, but why? It is a matter of belief. I cannot go to a classroom and have the same teacher go to the same blackboard and write on that blackboard 2 + 2 = 4 all the time. And on the other side of the blackboard, the same teacher in the same classroom with the same piece of chalk, write 2 + 2 = anything you want it to equal. And you've got to believe both. How is this possible? How is this possible? But that's precisely what they have asked us to do. And when you hear and see this number, protocol 1411, I can't find it right now. I don't know if I've even got it someplace. that was issued out of Rome only about a month ago, that is exactly what we are asked to do. And we said, no. We will not do it. We can't do it. So help us God. And that's where we are, and that's where you are. There's only one belief here, and that is the belief that was given to us by ages upon ages upon ages. We don't care. I'm not worried about the dancing girls and the unicycles and the coming in riding on a horse and the nudist masses and all those other things that are unbelievable that are going on. I don't care about that. The only thing is that right there. I don't care, and I'm saying this because I want you to carry it home with you, and then I will quit for the morning. Let us stop being so bent on the use of Latin. Why? I wouldn't have said this 2 years ago. I wouldn't have said this 3 years ago, but I am today. Because the people of this world, of this generation, are wiser. And Latin is being introduced into the mass of today. And the people are jubilant because they see Latin is coming back. And the Latin Novus Ordo Mass will be the final masterstroke of the enemy to replace the true Mass. Do you follow me? If you don't, you ask me questions, and I will answer your questions. And the people, because it's in Latin, do not know the difference. I just happen to recall, I can't help it, I've got to tell you these things. It's late, I don't care. About 10 years ago, when we were still over in the little chapel, there was an older gentleman who played the organ beautifully. And he was here one Sunday. And he said, can I play the organ? He had a good voice too, could really sing. And I said, well, of course, happy to have you. So he started playing the organ. And during the communion, he started singing according to the way he was playing. He started singing in Latin. He was just throwing words, Latin words, just willy-nilly, words. Words, 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 Latin, Latin, Latin. Absolutely no sense, no coherence, no sentence, no phrase, no clause, no nothing. Just Latin words. And the people started crying because it was so beautiful. Recently, in one of these places where Latin is being introduced, the celebrant, the president, or whatever you want to call him, the chairman of the board, or whatever, when it came time for the consecration of the Mass, the man said the Our Father in Latin instead of the words of consecration. And the people went home in ecstasy because we have returned to Latin. And the fact that they didn't even have a consecration, they didn't know it. They didn't know it. That's why we have to be on guard. We send out, and our little speculum, I don't mind telling you, has become one of the larger publications in this country, traditional. We mail out nearly 28,000 such little booklets. It gets every place. And we get letters, lots of letters. Some are good. Some are telling us to go where you know where. And some are asking for explanation. But this business, we've got to, this, you can say this Mass here in any language. Language has nothing to do with it. It is, I told you in a bulletin here some time ago, three things for consecration. What were they? Matter and form, proper intention. I can't think of the third one myself at the moment. But the three things, but the intention of the priest is what is absolutely important. You are not the body of Christ. We are not the body of Christ. Only that little thing which I hold in my hand, that morsel of bread, that is the body of Christ. And that is what we have to believe at the cost of losing our own lives. God punished poor old Osa by striking him dead on the spot. I mean on the spot. We might ask, why isn't he still doing it? Doesn't he care? Or doesn't he even notice? He cares. He notices. And he is punishing. How is he punishing? With earthquake? No. With flood? No. With storm? No. With plague? No. That's not God's punishment at all. We classify it his punishment, but it is not his punishment at all. His punishment is far more profound. His punishment is loss of faith. And if you have lost your faith, life is no longer worth living. You have died the worst possible death that could be administered to any human being. That's where God's punishment is today. And it is because of that, if you go about and you see the things that are happening, and you read your newspapers, and you listen to your radios, and you look at your TVs, and you look at the internet, and that explains why you see and hear the things that you see and hear. This pulpit, this bulletin, only one thing in mind, and that is to try to bring back to you the Catholic experience. And those of us that are old enough to know the experience that we had years ago when we were young. This is what we are trying to bring back, what I'm trying to bring back and give to you. And it is not in this fighting and calling people names and calling everybody heretics and saying this is the only place and I'm the only priest on earth and I'm the only this on earth, I'm the only that on earth. That's a bunch of bunk. The only thing is I'm trying to teach you Catholicity as it was once lived. That which made saints, that's which made people happy. And when people left the church, they were ignorant, oh my goodness gracious, yes, but they were happy. And they came to church and they paid homage. And the little old ladies couldn't read, didn't know anything about missals. Missals is only just something of recent vintage. Little old ladies with the little old black rosaries that were, the black paint was already worn off of it, off the rosary beads. They came in church and they said their rosary. The priest preached. They didn't know a word he said. Didn't care. But they gave honor to God and God was pleased. And he gave them the peace that I want you to have when you open that door from the inside and go out. And I want this peace to stay with you all week long in your relationships with each other, in your relationships with anyone you come into contact with. I want this peace to be with you. That's what I want. That's what we want. And if any one of the priests were up here this morning, they would be telling you the same thing. That's what we want. And this peace, my beloved people, there is nothing, absolutely no fortune, no wealth, no gold, no emerald, nothing will equal the magnificence of this peace, which you can have only if you take your heart and say, I give it all to you. And what you get back in return, I won't even dare try to describe. Peace be with you, my precious people.